Depression fever won't go away. I'd love to quit my job and just fish every day.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who's in our other studio a little bit south of us down in the beautiful city of La Paz, Baja California, sir. And we have a very special guest. We have Ron Colby from Yamamoto Bait, which I think that he's joining us from Arizona. Is that right, Ron?
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
The shores of Lake Powell.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a
great lake. I've fished that a lot of times.
Yeah, that's a great testing ground. And what do you do at Yamamoto, Ron?
I'm the operations manager for the company, so oversee a lot of everything from, you know, manufacturing, research and development, sales, just a lot of everything.
Well, it sounds to me like we found the right guy to talk to, Grizz.
Yeah, well, maybe you can tell us something about some lures.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff. We've got a little bit of time, so let's go ahead and kind of start in what direction you want to start to run. Now, I know that there's a science behind manufacturing baits, and a company that's as prestigious as yours, they probably do a lot of R&D. So give us a bit of an idea what you do.
Yeah, it's, for the R&D side of it, baits can take anywhere from, 6 months to a couple years to get, researched out to get them to be swimming just right or, the right colors. And just a lot of goes into it. And, you're sending your product out to a lot of guys to try and catch fish with them and testing it. And then, you got to change the molds and do a lot of test molds. So you do all these little tiny small molds. So then you can build a big production mold, which you'll be building anywhere from, 40 or 50 cavity molds up to a couple hundred cavities. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Ron, what type of lures do you make? What is your main production?
Soft plastic. It's a soft plastics.
You're into soft plastics?
Yeah, it's a soft plastic lures. We believe we make the number one soft plastic bass fishing lure in the world called a Senko.
The Senko. How many thousands of big fish have I caught on Senko? I guarantee you I've caught 20 fish over 20 pounds. I'm not 20 pounds, but 20 fish over 10 pounds on a Senko.
That's just awesome.
I've made television shows with the Senkos.
Yeah.
I know that lure very well. I fished it wacky and even got rubber bands, to hook them into the center. And that's the best lure in the world.
Yeah, no wrong way to fish them now, is there?
No, I haven't found it anyway.
Now, Ron, we know that obviously you're famous for bass fishing and freshwater. How wide is your line? Do you only freshwater fishing?
Pretty much. That's what our main target is mm-hmm. bass. And the freshwater market, mm-hmm. We do have a lot of crossover baits like grubs and some worms that guys will use for walleye, and we do have some small baits that we have for crappie and panfish, and then again some of our stuff crosses over down in the Gulf of Mexico, and I know down there in San Diego and that, the guys love to use our swim baits or our big grubs, for catching calicos and things mm-hmm. like that, too. So
I'm going to have to try some of those down here with me, some of the swim baits.
Yeah, there's we got quite a few people down there that just love our little 3.5 or 5-inch swim bait that we've spent a lot of time on. That was one of those baits we spent quite a bit of time on to get the tail to make sure it's wagging just right and everything. And colors, developing some colors for just them.
Ron, can you give us an idea about the science that goes into, first of all, the scent, the color, the motion, and do you have to, I assume that you have to learn, before you learn about the bait, you have to learn about the fish.
Yeah, the fish, what triggers them, the colors, the movement, the shape. You try and make baits that work really good in cold water. You make baits that work really good in warmer water.
What would the difference be, Ron?
Well, you know, in the springtime, you generally you're looking for a bigger, bulkier bait with a lot of appendages and can push a lot of water, move a lot of water. So, you know, you get something with a lot of action. In the summer, the warmer months, they seem to be a lot more lethargic, where so you get stuff that's more streamlined, more pencil shape, you know, thinner. And as the fall goes on and it cools off a little bit more, the bait fish or what they're feeding on, you know, becomes a lot smaller. As they're feeding on the young of the year, so you got to develop baits that work really good in a small profile. So you just can't, you know, put something out there because it'll just be a gob of plastic.
Right. Now, you know, most people, I think, they have their go-to, you know, bait or lure that they like because it seems to work for them. But, you know, believe that, you know, color can be, you know, how important really is colors and shades other than being light and dark?
It's on any given day, one color will outperform another, you know, based on your water clarity, how much light you have coming into the water. You know, if it's a cloudy day, the water temperature makes a little bit of difference. So on any given day, one color will outproduce the one, but your basic colors like a black or a white or a green or a brown, you know, they cover all the colors of a bait fish or a crawdad or a bug in the water or something like that. So, you know, if you had four basic colors, you could just stick with those and then put little spins on them. And as an example, with the certain flake you have in them, you can get into like in the California Delta, that water is fairly green. It has a really good green tint to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our most popular colors there is what we call watermelon red, or the color number is 208. Well, when you look at it out in the air, it's green, has a little bit of black flake in it and some red flake into it. And so that's why, you know, the watermelon red. But it's really amazing. When you put that into the water, the green all kind of disappears. It, like, mm-hmm. the water filters it out, so you get this really red sparkly bait in the water, which the fish will really trigger on that red. Mm-hmm.
You know what I call that lure that you're talking about, or that worm? Mm-hmm. In the cinco, I call it the disco worm.
Oh, yeah?
It's my favorite. What you're talking about here is my favorite. All down here in Mexico, I've caught a lot of big fish on that worm.
With the sparklies in it, you mean?
Yeah, I call it the disco worm. You know, I love that cinco that's colored. That works for me. I mean, it's like, well, I try everything. When I go to that watermelon, I start jerking big fish.
Yeah, that's been that watermelon red is dependent on certain areas of the country, but it is always in the top. Two or three mm-hmm. Selling colors, and we make that color in every single bait we make because it is such a popular color.
Now, when you're manufacturing the bait, is it just trial and error that you find out what works?
Sometimes. You know, other times it's there's a little lot more thought, you know, put into it. Like, it's, you know, you may want a certain action. You may want the bait just to go onto a jig. You may want to fish by itself. So there's a lot of different aspects on that, on what you want the bait to do. Like if it's going to be a trailer or, like I said, an additive to a jig is a jig trailer, or you're just going to put it on a hook and let it fish by itself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, but when you do it, you a lot of trial and error with the...
Right.
The test molds and that, yeah,
right.
So we'll play with them for a
okay.
while.
Well, we're running up against the clock, but if somebody's looking for Yamamoto, they don't have to go very far because virtually every tackle store and retailer carries it on the shelf.
Absolutely, and California happens to be probably our number one selling state with our product. We've been really popular in California and the West Coast for day one since Gary started it.
Well, we really appreciate that, and we like to have you coming on. It's, you know, we'd always like to be able to learn from the experts, and I think we've learned a few things today. So we really appreciate that, Ron. We're going to be back with Fish Talk Radio in just a couple of minutes. We've got the Grizz that's going to stay with us, and Ron Colby from Yamamoto Bait. We appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Isle Mirada. A 90-minute drive south of Miami in the Florida Keys is known to be the sport fishing capital of the world. Migratory game fish, fishing the flats, inshore, and blue water, the fishing experience is incredible. The Holiday Isle Resort is the premier resort in Isle Mirada and the only resort with a full-service marina. Also, 143 rooms, 7 bars, 3 restaurants, 22 charter captains, and a friendly staff. To book or learn more about your dream trip in the best of the Keys, visit HolidayIsle.com. Have the best at a great price. Mention Fish Talk Radio to get $200 resort credit with a 3-night stay. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070 to book this very special Fish Talk Radio package. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070. Contact HolidayIsle.com. That's HolidayIsle.com.
I want to go fishing, because it takes my stress away. I want to go fishing, try and cast my blues away.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz joining us in this particular segment. So we're gonna start off with a Baja report, and let's start off with the Grizz down in La Paz and see what's going on down there, Grizz.
Well, John, it's really good to be on, and I thank you guys for having me on. Let's start fishing, the fishing report, all the way up to Mag Bay. Just up there 2 weeks ago, Mag Bay is kind of the water's down. There are no striped marlins right now up there. Might be one or two hiding out, but we didn't find them. But what is happening up there are snook fishing. Catching snook up to 25, 35 pounds, really big ones. Catching them on live shrimp back in the mangroves, back up in there in the estuaries. Really good fight. A lot of snappers moving in there. Like 3 or 4 different types of snappers, nothing really big, but 9-10 pound snappers up there. So that's what you got going there. Let's move a little bit farther south to La Paz. La Paz has still got yellowtail. The yellowtail are moving in and more every day. We're catching bigger ones, 35, 40 pounds there. Catching some pargo there, some mullet snapper. Are moving in there, catching some pretty good size ones, but not like they're catching in Punta Arena. Punta Arena got guys out right now, and they are slaying big yellowtail.
Great. Well, we do have Chucky on the line with us, Grizz, so let's go ahead and go over to Chucky and find out what's happening on the other side of the peninsula or down the coast on the Sea of Cortez at East Cape. Chucky, thanks for coming aboard with us.
Hey, thank you. Well, here East Cape, there's not a lot of fishing right now, but it's what I've seen and heard from the guys here. There is lots of Sierra mackerel that's wide open.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
There's some Dorado. They've spotted a few marlin off the shore here. Not a whole lot, but you know, a lot of people are just targeting the Sierra mackerel in the morning. And you know, during this time of the year, it's kind of windy, and it's been, you know, weather permitting, is when it's really calm and nice, you know, you can go up north and get into some yellowtail by Muertos Bay in the Sorabo area, and fish your way down.
Right.
And up in the buoys, there's Dorado and, of course, striped marlin, but always and everywhere there is Sierra mackerel.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the yellowtail, Chucky, because that is a spring kind of fishing, and it sounds like they're already starting to come in, and Grizz mentioned they're up in La Paz, they're coming around. So what is the season on those? How long do they stick around?
As long as the water keeps cool, they'll stick around. As soon as the water starts warming up, comes May, the beginning of end of May, beginning of June, they start going back. They start heading back.
Right, and then of course, you know, when that happens, then we start getting into the other fun stuff too, the Dorado and tunas.
Well, there's always something fun to catch around, right, Chucky? You can catch fish You know, you can go right out in front of Chucky's place about 100 yards out, and when nothing's going on, you can catch big, big, big ladyfish. And they are kicking butt on a fly rod and light tackle stuff. Just, I mean, right in front. Also, right in front of Chucky's place. Now, about 50 yards out, you can go out there and get some really nice Jack Crevel. Just did that the other day. So it's always there at Van Warmer Resorts. You always got a place to go. Even in bad situations, you can have a good time.
But as always, you know, that's for fishing-wise. It's not. I mean, it's beautiful settings. It's beautiful area. Really calm, really nice, and very safe. Very safe to come down here. We don't have the, you know, all of the problems that the rest of the country is, you know, facing right now. This town, half of the people that live here are Americans.
Yeah.
Half of them are Mexicans, and there's a few of us that are in between that have Mexicans and Americans.
Not sure what you
I
are.
Mean, what it's Los Barriles, the East Cape area, Buenavista, it's what 20 or 25 years ago Cabos used to be. It's really laid back, easy going, nice, really nice towns that...
Right. Well, it's so easy. You can get to the Los Cabos airport from anywhere with direct flights, and then it's just an easy drive. You'll even send a van to the airport to pick people up. Very, very affordable. So it's a good idea to go ahead and start making some plans to come down and see Chucky at Palmas de Cortez, you know, or the Playa del Sol, and then Punta Colorado opens up pretty quick too, right?
Yeah. This year at Punta Colorada, we're going to shut it down for maintenance and for so we're going to have two hotels open. We're going to have Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. For the clients at Punta Colorada, we have readjusted them into Palmas and Playa, and because of there's some maintenance issues, and we have some water problems that we need to address this year. And of course, you know, we'll try to
make it even better.
Better the place and reopen them for next year, for next season, and to better serve our clients and to have a better service for everyone.
Chucky, you've got a phone number that everybody almost knows by heart, and that is
877-777. Tuna.
877-777-TUNA. And then, of course, you can go to fishtalkradio.com and right on the front page where it says Van Warmer Resorts. Just get a call in and get your reservations in there. Chucky, thank you very much for that great report.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right,
we'll talk to you later, Chucky.
Okay. Hey, Grizz, what we're talking about fishing in Mexico. What we're going to do is we're going to go up to San Diego and talk to somebody that fishes in Mexico, one of the finest San Diego fleet long-range boat, the Independent Sport Fishing. We have Paul Strasser on the line with us. Paul?
Yes. Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. How are we all doing today?
We've done it. You just said it 24 hours, so I guess we're all good.
Yeah, we're all good. Now, Paul, what is the season for the San Diego Long Range Fleet? What are you guys up to at this time of the year?
Well, this time of the year, the Long Range Fleet is actually doing the long range. We are all fishing anywhere from 14 to 18 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting our boats down below anywhere from 800 to 950 miles, fishing the Clarion Island, the Hurricane Bank. That is where the better tuna is biting. That tuna from 120 to 350 pounds is what we're catching right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of fish biting. We just got back in on a 16-day trip a week or two ago, and we filled the boat. It was a very, very good fish on that 150 to 275-pound tuna.
When you say you filled the boat, you mean you filled the boat with fish?
Yes, with fish. It was very, very good fishing.
That must be tons and tons.
Yeah. A lot of fish. But it's very, very good fishing, and that's what the long range fleet is doing right now. As the year gets going, the summer gets going, the water starts to push to the north, then we will go on our shorter trips, our 7-day, our 8-day, our 10-days, 5-day kind of trips. But right now we're just doing this time of the year in the wintertime, we're more or less that warmer water is pushed to the south, so that's we have to travel farther distances.
Well, people that don't understand the San Diego Long Range Fleet, it's not exactly like a fishing boat. It's kind of like a mini cruise ship. you know, with the state-of-the-art cabins and the, you know, the equipment and the staff. And when you talk about filling it with fish, with the refrigerated ocean water, you can take that fish down to where it'll stay sashimi grade for a week at a time.
Oh, yes. That's the best part about our industry, our long-range, our little group here. We have a really good niche on keeping that fresh fish fresh. I mean, the minute it hits the boat, we spike it. We put a wire down the spine to stop it, to make it die immediately. We bleed the fish, and then we put it in that 29 to 30 degree water. And when he gets off the boat, it is unbelievable. It's a grade A sushi, great fish, and that's our number one concern, is getting that fish in a situation where it's really, really, really good. Not just like frozen fish like we used to do in the old days.
Well, when you're fishing for these big tuna down there, you might want to make sure you've got the right equipment and right gear and maybe some harnesses, because if you're standing at the rail pulling on a 300-pound tuna, that's a lot of work.
Well, you know, of course, nowadays with Spectra fishing line, two-speed fishing reels, And the fact that we are fishing with live bait, it makes it a lot easier to get that bite. And once nowadays with that equipment I just described, it makes the fishing a little bit easier on our end. And then we use the rail. We put that rod on the rail like a teeter totter, either under the arm, and you go down to one knee, put your weight on it, or you put it between your legs and put your weight on it.
Oh.
And that way you can pull a lot more. Mm-hmm. And not actually wipe out your arms and your upper body.
Oh, okay. So you don't just have to stand up and fight it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, you could, but we have these techniques now. I mean, you're fishing with a 130-pound test line. You're fishing with a 25 to 30 pounds of drag. I mean, things can get really – there's a lot of pulling going on here. And those fish, if you don't pull on those fish, they will not come in. I mean, they will take extra, extra long – I mean, I've had guys who want to sit there and stand up and fight a fish, and after 2.5 hours, they finally resorted to using the rail,
yeah.
And that fish was not tired.
Yeah, got it.
He was not tired because he did not have the you were not pulling hard enough during that first 2 hours of fighting.
Well, Paul, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, we're coming up against a hard break, but if somebody wants to go fishing on the Long Range Fleet, it's Independent Sport Fishing, and your website is?
IndependentSportFishing.com.
Well, that's an easy one. Okay.
Yeah, very easy. And we're in San Diego at 619-226-6006.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for another lesson in the San Diego Long Range Fleet, and we hope to have you back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we appreciate you coming aboard with us. And we got the Grizz visiting with us right now. We're going to be a break, but don't go too far.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with the Grizz in the beautiful city of La Paz, Baja California, sir. And from a little bit closer to home, we have Mark Lassane, the editor, the publisher, the owner,
everything, the big deal of the magazine, John. Come on.
That's Bass Angler Magazine.
The Big Fish. How you doing? Oh, I'm great. You know, if your listeners could see it where I'm at right now, you'd probably freak out. I'm in my garage, and I'm waist deep in tackle.
trying to figure out what to take to Havasu. I'm leaving in the morning for the FLW tournament at Havasu tomorrow and just trying to get everything organized, and I am up to my ears in tackle. It's just crazy.
Well, that's neat. You can go and pick out what you want and then take it. But don't move around if you're up to your ears in tackle, because you might get something in your butt. And now we're hurt.
The hook's all packaged.
Hey, oh, okay. I got a question that has been getting asked with you, and there's nobody better to ask than you. Uh-oh. Mark, tell the people what pre-spawn is.
Pre-spawn is before the bass, or actually any fish, moves up into their spawning cycle where they mate and make more little baby fish. So, and generally what happens during the pre-spawn cycle, the fish in the winter are out deep, and they move up, follow creek channels and break lines, and they move up shallow. And while they're doing this, they're feeding really heavy, because during the pre-spawn time, during the spawn, they have about 2 weeks where they really don't eat anything. So they need to fatten up really heavy before then. So generally, right before the spawn, the bite gets really good, and you can get some of the biggest fish in your life during that time of year.
Is that also because the heaviest fish are the big females, and they have roll?
Yes, they're full of eggs also, and you know the big giant ones usually have a couple pounds a row. So, you know, if you're talking like a 10-pound fish in the summertime, it could be 12 or 13 pounds early springtime, which is, you know, a teen fish is giant. So
yeah, and how do you fish the pre-spawn?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to fish for them. It kind of depends on water temperature. The colder the water, the slower I fish, and the warmer it gets, the faster I'll fish. So, you know, usually when it's cold, you start out with worms and jigs and baits that you can move relatively slow and close to the bottom. As you get a little bit warmer and get closer to the spawn, the fish are shallower, you can start throwing more reaction-style baits, and that would be like a crankbait or a spinnerbait or a jerkbait, you know, swim baits, things that move along at a pretty good clip.
Okay. Now, we just passed the pre-spawn. Now we're in the spawn. Tell us about the spawn.
Well, during the spawn...
And don't talk about how they make love and stuff like that.
This is a G-rated show.
Yeah, that's right. So we can't talk about that. We got children listening, Mark.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what happens is the males go up and find a suitable house, so you call it, and they clear a spot away on an area with a hard bottom, clear a little spot away so the female can come up and lay the eggs. So females come up and lay the eggs, and the males hang out, and then they guard, the males stay and guard the nest for, about 3 weeks after this happens. And sometimes you can have one female that will lay eggs on multiple nests. So generally the females will only be up for a couple of days, maybe a week at the most, but the males will be up there for, you know, a couple of weeks. So
now the males are the ones that have the brooming on the tail.
Yeah.
The female does not have brooming on the tail.
Yeah, you know, some of them do. I mean, it's really hard to tell which one is which. I mean, during the you know, pre-spawn and spawn is really the only time you could tell, the average angler can tell the difference between a male and a female. That's because the females will have eggs, you know, coming out their back end.
So yeah, and they're really fat.
And they're really fat, yes.
So now, I'm in spawn. I want to fish the spawn. How do I do it, Mark?
Well, you know, I found like shallow crankbaits work good, soft jerkbaits like a fluke-style bait, or the Yamamoto makes a D-Shad. Those baits are really good for the spawn. Chatterbaits, Senkos are you know, Senkos are probably the number one bait. I think if guys haven't heard of Senkos, then they've been under a rock. If they haven't, they need to get out of that rock and go get some and give them a try. You know, if we need one bait just to throw a Senko, it'd be great. You could also throw, you know, worms and jigs. And, you know, there's a variety of ways to catch them off the nest. And then there's a whole host of ideas, whether people want to catch them when they're spawning and or they don't want to catch them when they're spawning.
Mark, when they are close up and shallow in the spawn, can you sight fish them?
Sure.
sure, you know, and a technique, like especially a tournament technique, and which one I might be using at Havasu, is you put the trolling motor on high and you run down the bank and cover as much ground as you can and find the fish that are up shallow. And generally they'll be up for a couple of days, you know, especially around the new moon and the full moon time. Once the water gets up 58, you know, 56 in some places, 58 to 60 in most places, you know, those fish will start moving to the bank and, you know, they'll be in the little secluded coves. The ones, the kind of coves that you would go into, you know, when it's somewhat cold out where you think you could kind of escape the weather. And that's where you're generally going to find the bass. There's not a lot of wind and there's a lot of sun. The northern banks where there's a full sun most of the day will generally have the more of the fish. And yeah, you can, you know, you can go to many of those you want and then you can sight fish and find them. All I'd say is, you know, that time of year is let the fish go. Once you catch them, let them go, you know.
You should always let them go.
Yeah, you know, you should always let them go. But, you know, especially during the spawn is, you know, they're making more, and so the more they make, the more you can catch them.
I have a question now that's something that bothers me. You know, you know me, Mark, I'm catch and release. You've got a tournament going on. You got a spawn going on with the tournament. You capture these males. You run as fast as you can. You measure them. And then the people are releasing them exactly where they weigh them.
Right.
Now, does that male ever get back to that nest, or is that nest destroyed by other type of fish like carp and catfish eat those eggs because that male will never get back there?
Good question. No, I've heard, you know, there's a lot of different schools of thought, and I don't have any scientific study to back it, but what I've heard is that, you know, the bass will swim back to where it originated from over a period of time. Like smallmouth will get up and go right away. You know, spots, they'll probably go out to the middle of the lake, and largemouth will get back there, but they take a little while.
So their nest or their red is actually endangered by the time that guy keeps his trophy or his prize, whatever you want to call it, in the live bed until the weigh-in, and then releases it, there's a big chance that that nest is destroyed.
There's a chance. So, I mean, also there's, you know, a lot of times there's two or three fish even on a nest.
Right.
You know, you could have a female there and a male. And, you know, I mean, sometimes the tactic is to catch the male, and then the female moves up and guards the nest, and
okay,
then you can catch
good.
The female.
Hey, Mark and Grizz, well, I certainly learned a lot, and I think if there's anything you ever want to know about bass fishing, we just did. But we're going to go to Mandy right now up at Lake Shasta and see what's happening up there. Mark, from the Bass Angler Magazine, a website is at bassanglermag.com, is that right?
Yes. BassAnglerMag.com.
Cool. All righty. Thanks, Mark.
Take care, Mark.
All righty.
Thank you.
Let's move up to Lake Shasta and see what's happening this time of the year, Mandy. You know, you're up, your altitude's up a little bit, and you're up towards the northern part of California. Is it been pretty cool up there?
Yeah, we've had rain off and on. It's sunny right now. It's supposed to be 70 degrees today, so it's a beautiful day to go out on the lake right now.
It is, and such a beautiful lake, you know, Redding and Lake Shasta, that area up there is just absolutely tremendous.
Absolutely. I'm lucky to live here.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, that's – and even this time of the year, it's still a great place to visit. You might want to wear a little bit more clothes, but you guys have
– Long Johns.
Long Johns. Risen as Long Johns. Yeah. What a visual that is. But anyway.
Hey, don't laugh, lady. I'm very good looking.
Yeah.
You're going to wear fuzzy socks too, right?
Yeah.
I have fuzzy. I have a big beard and long hair. Look me up on my Facebook or on my website.
And fuzzy socks.
No, I don't wear fuzzy socks anymore, John.
Okay. But... Mandy, I know that it's always a good time of the year to go up there because the accommodations, you have campsites, you got cabins, you got boat rentals, you've got this beautiful, beautiful, huge lake that's full of all kinds of different fish.
Yes.
Yes. But
what kind of fish you got up there?
Well, actually, there is a quite a variety. Of course, you know, you will find some just about anything you'd find in a lake, including bass. The trout fishery is very good up there, isn't it, Mandy?
Yeah, the trout is actually, we just had a guy come in and said that it was really good yesterday. So,
So you know, there's probably about 10,000 miles of shoreline, but that you can access. Maybe not 10,000 miles, but there's a lot.
That's kind of exaggerating, don't you think, John?
Maybe by a slight
like
10,000.
I'm sorry. How many, Mandy?
It's about 364 miles.
John, come on now.
Well,
you were
see?
Talking about Mexico. You got confused.
No, that's almost the same. And it's a lot. And, you know, but, of course, you know, a slow troll in a boat, you're just about guaranteed any time of the year to catch some trout.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of bass fishermen right now out there.
Okay.
Also.
Oh, that's see, and they've got tournaments going on. Oh, my gosh, we're getting within about 30 seconds of the clock coming out on us. Mandy, we appreciate that very much, and just and 5 seconds of contact for us.
You can call us, 275-8113.
530 area code, 275-8113.
Right.
Thank you, Mandy, and enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes.